I'm comedian, writer, and filmmaker Chuck Staton from the punk band Senior Discount.
And I'm writer and comedian Brad Rohr from the Providence Improv Guild.
And this is the Chuck and Brad Podcast.
Hello and welcome to episode 503 of the Chuck and Brad Podcast.
I'm Chuck.
I am Brad.
How you doing?
I'm all right. How are you?
I'm ready for episode 2 of the Brammies and Chammies, our favorite stuff from 2020. This week it's going to be TV or streaming series, I guess.
Yeah.
Books, music, and live events, which we'll see how that goes.
Yes.
And our personal lives. But we did episode 1 on Monday. If you want to check that out, that was movies, podcasts, restaurants, and gaming. And now we're on to this, and this will end our 2020 look back.
Yes.
All right, so let's do TV, buddy. What do you got?
All right. So, you know, these categories were written a long time ago when things may have been a little bit different. I'm going to stick with them for now. Favorite half-hour show was my first category. Schitt's Creek.
Yeah, you liked that, huh?
It was a show that I... You know, didn't like. Truthfully, it's been mentioned now 3 years in a row in terms of favorite half hour show.
Wow!
So either the favorite or the runner up for 3 years in a row. Just good stuff.
Nice. That's great.
Yep.
For me, favorite half hour show. I can't believe it actually aired this year. It feels like a million years ago. Curb Your Enthusiasm season 10.
Oh, okay.
Isn't that weird? It feels like it's so long ago.
It really does.
But the first episode with the MAGA hat. Lots of great stuff this year. He's going through the lawsuit the entire season. Oh, man. I love Curb Your Enthusiasm. My runner-up, and honestly, this could end up somewhere else if we had more categories that were tailored to it.
Okay.
But my runner-up was Mandalorian.
Yeah.
I love Mandalorian. I haven't watched all of season 2 yet.
Right.
But, man, I watched it all this year. Everything I've watched from it is this year. And the opening, the first episode, the season finale of season 1,
yep.
The season 2 opener... Everything has been awesome.
I'm almost ready to start watching season 2.
I love Mandalorian. I think it's great. I think it's really well done. And I'm not the biggest Star Wars guy.
Right.
So it's really incredible to me. Yep. Favorite hour-long show. What do you got?
For me, Watchmen.
On
HBO. It was a 9-episode little mini-series. Yeah.
Who watched The Watchmen? I want to watch The Watchmen.
Yeah. It was supremely well done.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I heard. Socially relevant.
Yes.
And also, like, I think episode 8 was like, just from a storytelling / filmmaking perspective, the idea of playing with these nested timelines was just an outstanding hour of television.
Yeah, I believe it, man. For me, favorite hour long was Sopranos, of which I watched the entire series of Sopranos this year for the very first time.
Yeah, the whole run.
Yeah, and I just loved it. It was too good. It was so fun. Let's see. All right. See here. So the next ones we have are favorite actor and favorite actress. And I don't really have a great answer for these.
Favorite actress for me was Regina King, who was the lead in Watchmen.
Mm-hmm.
She was great. And then favorite actor was for the second year in a row, Dan Levy. Who was in Schitt's Creek.
Nice. That's great. Yeah. For me, let's see. All right. The next one we have is favorite reality show.
I don't know if it counts as a reality show, but I'm counting it because it's a Brammy.
Me too.
My award. Yep. McMillions.
That was my favorite as well.
Was a 6-episode documentary series about people defrauding the McDonald's Monopoly game.
Yes.
And kind of how they got caught.
100%.
And just... I could not believe how invested I got, how quickly, about this crime that, you know, doesn't really impact my life. I wasn't going to win $1 million anyway, but I don't know. It was
too good.
It was so interesting and so well done.
Yeah, that was my favorite
also,
too.
And I think HBO Now. Yeah,
HBO Now. That was my favorite too. I just think that not only was it so well done, they really played with, reenactments and how those are done and whether or not their reenactments counted as reenactments or felt like they actually had footage of certain things.
Right.
Because they did have footage of some of it.
Yeah.
But they treated it with such gravitas.
Perfect.
And it was such a fun, because I like the really well done true crime documentaries.
Yeah.
And this was almost presented like that, but with something so much less serious.
Right.
And man, I loved McMillions. My runner up for favorite reality show, again, kind of breaking the rules of reality show, was the series Evil Genius on Netflix, which I had not watched, about the pizza collar bomber.
Yes.
The bomb collar pizza delivery guy.
Yeah, I guess that's it.
Yeah.
That's a tough one.
That was also so well done. I love both of those. Those were great. And we watched a couple of other ones too, but I guess we'll get to those in terms of like well done true crime documentaries. All right. Favorite trashy reality show.
You know, I didn't really have one, but I put the one that I suspect you will, and I put a question mark after it.
I put 90 Day Fiancé.
Yeah, that's what I had, but with
because of Larissa and Colty.
Yeah. I watched 1.5 episodes of that.
Yes, and
that was enough.
No, it was great. And as a runner-up, again, very well-done documentary series, borders on true crime, excellent documentary series, well-made, but also trashy in terms of the subject matter.
Oh.
Tiger King.
Yeah.
Tiger King was incredibly compelling, an actual crazy story, really well shot, obviously took the world by storm.
Yes.
And it's funny because I think that it's one of those projects that, like, if you glanced at it, you could say this is stupid, but the artistry there behind telling that story is fucking excellent.
Yeah.
Favorite sports moment for Brad?
I put the Bears over the Falcons in week 3. Mm-hmm. That was when I still believed the Bears would be good. I mean, they're in the playoffs, so anything can happen. But by the time this episode airs, I suspect they will not be in the playoffs.
Oh, boy.
But yeah, they were losing big. Their backup quarterback came in, threw 3 touchdown passes, including one with less than 2 minutes to go.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a really, like, I was optimistic about the Bears season at that point in time.
Yeah. I don't have a favorite sports moment, really.
Right.
I wanted to get into the Patriots last season, and yep. I did.
Yep.
And then it was so hard to like have like Tom Brady leave.
Yep.
It was just weird. And then I got to be honest, you know, I was into wrestling. The way that the pandemic affected sports made me even less interested in sports,
right.
including wrestling.
Yeah.
And so I'm hoping to get back into the Patriots again. But man, that was a tough couple things this year that make me feel like distanced is like,
yeah.
Oh, the star of the team is leaving and we're going to do these games that feel so much less energetic.
Yep.
So that was tough for me. So I don't really have a sports moment. Least favorite moment of the year in regards to series and TV?
I just put television in general. I put a 1 trillion way tie between basically everything that happened.
For television?
For everything. Yeah. I mean, you know, more about the news than anything else.
News TV.
Yeah, news TV.
See, I have...
It's weird because in the past...
I think the TV, the series stuff this year has been pretty stellar.
Oh, I agree. But like, you know, in the past for me, it was the double doink, which was when the Bears lost the playoff game. Yeah. Roman Reigns announcing cancer. And then
oh my God,
anytime yeah. our president did anything was 1 year.
Oh yeah, that's and true. So that is the main way we communicate with Trumpo.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, I again, this isn't like, oh, the finale of Game of Thrones was bad. Right. It was just kind of, you know, you turn on the TV and the news is there and the news is bad.
Yeah, totally. Least favorite moment of the year for me for TV was Westworld season 3.
Yeah.
You know, I had no interest to keep watching it after it just became like a Terminator sequel.
Right.
When the season 1 of Westworld was so incredible.
Right.
Season 2 was a big drop in cohesiveness.
Yeah.
And then season 3 was just not even interesting to me at all.
Yeah, it wasn't amazing.
I do hope to watch it eventually, all of it. Like I stopped right away because I was like, this is not holding my attention at all. But man, what a departure from what made me love the show.
Right.
You know? 19, disappointing development. Which, why do we have least favorite moment in Disney?
I've missed most disappointing show.
Yeah.
Which for me,
what's least favorite moment of the year then?
Least favorite moment, I think that was like, sports? Because again, I was doing this in like 2008 or 2009 and I was like, Ted Mosby got left at the altar and I was sad about it.
Oh, like narratively least favorite moment. Yeah. I get it.
Yeah, so it's kind of changed.
that makes sense, yeah. But we should put that.
Yeah. Most disappointing show, I left it blank. I guess Westworld season 3 could be on there.
Mm-hmm.
And Avenue 5 was a show I wanted to love, like space, science fiction, comedy. Mm. It's got Hugh Laurie. It's got Josh Gad. Mm. And I don't think it ever landed with me. Like, mm-hmm. I don't think any of the episodes like where I was like, this is great television. So
I see.
That was, I guess, a disappointment to me. And I feel like a disappointment because other people I know and respect really like it.
Yeah, I hear you. 10, surprise of the year.
I do not have anything for that.
For me, for surprise of the year, I put...
I do have it. Solid endings for The Good Place and Schitt's Creek. Both shows ended and it wasn't... You know, there wasn't the ton of blowback you got from other shows that ended, the other beloved shows that ended. So,
right.
Sorry, I have that just out of order.
Nice. For me, my surprise of the year was there was a new show on Disney Plus called 616. And the trailers for it just made it kind of seem like it was just about the Marvel comic books and kind of. I guess the writers that write them and how they spoke to the characters. I'm like, oh, that's fine. I'm not crazy interested in it, but maybe I'll put it on. But then it came out and the first episode was a deep dive into the history of the Japanese Spider-Man show.
Right.
And it was so well done and so taken so seriously. And I was like, that's amazing. And that surprised me.
Yeah.
And then runner up is Death to 2020.
Right.
I thought Death to 2020 was this like, it's just a special that was on Netflix, like maybe like 2 weeks ago that came out. And I thought it was so well executed, so funny, so heady. It's presented as a serious look back that's probably like an hour and 20 minutes long, but it's a comedy.
Yeah.
And it's like Samuel Jackson playing a reporter, Hugh Grant playing a historian. It's just great.
Yeah.
And they kind of go through a lot of jokes and, They show everything that happened through the year, but they present it kind of in the style of a more serious and British like Daily Show almost,
right.
And it's great. Favorite overall for the year, boring for me, is Sopranos because, like I said, it's regarded as perhaps the best television drama of all time.
Right,
and I got into it for the first time this year during the pandemic. Gina and I watched the entire show, and I was in from day one to the very end, and it was fucking awesome. I was looking forward to every night when it would be like 8 o'clock and me and Gina would have some food. We'd settle in and get ready. We watched like 3 episodes of Sopranos. Yeah. I fucking loved it.
I didn't like that you watched it and you kept saying bada bing all the time. You were greasing your hair back.
I did. Remember, I was like, Ray's like Tony Soprano. And he was so mad about that. Our buddy Ray.
Yeah, Arrington, I don't like that you walked me out into the winter woods and then murdered me. I didn't care for that at all. But you know,
this guy's a threat to our operation.
Yes.
What do you mean?
I'm half of your operation. Favorite overall show for me was The Good Place. Yeah. Again, I think it was just supremely smart television that dealt with like these huge philosophical concepts.
Yeah.
In a very funny way.
Right.
And all the actors were charming and wonderful, and it was good stuff. I also mentioned Schitt's Creek a couple times. Man, one show that I didn't think of until we were talking about 616 was the High Score documentary series Netflix about the history of different video games.
Yeah,
that's just good stuff.
That was cool.
That's all I really have for television. It seemed like the shift to streaming is just more and more. I've been watching Avatar The Last Airbender on Netflix, and so I want to kind of finish that before I start The Mandalorian, and then there's Danger 5. I'm supposed to, like, all these, just too much stuff.
Oh, way too much. Yeah. For me, the mainstays, I watched Eric Andre's show this year. It was continues to be wacky in a good way. I continued to watch Family Guy, which I feel like people are getting less and less interested in, but man, I still think it's very funny. They have a lot of great ideas. Gina and I have been spending, sometimes we just put on old Simpsons episodes and old Seinfeld episodes. We're really enjoying them.
Nice.
And my honorable mentions include High Score. And the reason the High Score is not mentioned anywhere else is because I didn't actually get to watch it. I only watched the first episode and I was blown away. I watched the first season of Breaking Bad for the first time. I thought it was great. I watched a couple episodes of I'll Be There in the Dark, but it was really disturbing and dark and Gina was like not down to watch it. So I haven't really continued, but that has been awesome. But very, very heavy. The Kevin Hart documentary on Netflix was great. They released the roast of Rich Voss this year for free on YouTube, and it was awesome. Super funny, and like a Comedy Central roast, but with all real comics, which is awesome. And finally, honorable mention, let's just throw it out there. Is Disney Plus like incredible?
It's getting there.
It is. It's the combination of having so much classic television programming from the, you know, the Disney, not only the Disney movies, but the shorts and Simpsons and different things. But like, is Mandalorian like the closest thing to really bridging the gap between episodic streaming and film?
Right.
It probably is.
Yeah.
It's so good. I mean, Stranger Things is great, but Stranger Things still feels like a TV show.
Yeah.
Mandalorian feels like it's better than the new Star Wars trilogy.
Yeah.
Do you feel like that?
Yeah. From what I've seen of it. Yeah.
The documentary stuff on Disney Plus is great. And I got to say, WandaVision and Falcon the Winter Soldier and Loki and all that stuff are starting this year. And I have never been interested in watching a TV show like that before.
I feel like WandaVision is your new greatest showman.
I think WandaVision is going to be... I'm just so interested when people break the boundaries of what something you think it would be.
Right.
Like if they're like, all right, the first real movie based on the Marvel Cinematic Universe is going to be a character that you care the least about.
Right.
With a character who died.
Yep.
And we're going to be parodying different decades of television. It just seems so weird.
Oh, yeah.
Do you know that they hired the songwriters from Frozen to make different TV themes for every era of television?
I did know
for
that.
For the show. So cool. Yep. WandaVision. But yeah, Disney Plus, I just think that the value is outrageous.
Yeah.
It's a great service. Oh.
This ought to be good.
This is going to be crazy. You're not going to believe this.
Is there a Greatest Showman television show?
I'm going to take back my Brammy choice. Chammy choice for favorite half hour show.
Wow.
Yes.
All right. I'll allow it.
Yes. Here's what happened last year. Let me pull up my notes and my files. So last year, you know, we did the Brammys and Chammys like we do them every year. We did them in January of 2020 to look back on 2019.
Yes.
And I stated at that time, like a piece of shit.
Oh boy.
That my favorite half hour show was
What We Do in the Shadows, which had a great second season, by the way.
Was Rick and Morty season 4.
Okay.
Which is great.
Yep.
And I think that that's my runner-up. But in actuality, I had forgotten that in January of 2019,
okay,
we had like a big winter storm.
Yep.
And I watched all of the Nirvana the Band, the Show stuff.
Oh, yeah.
But it was almost a full year before we recorded.
Right.
So I had forgotten, but Nirvana the Band, the Show.
Oh, and Vice Canada.
Is my half hour TV show of the year for 2019.
I think we also, we watched 5 or 6 episodes in January of 2020.
No, watched them again. Yeah. Yes, we did. Yeah. But I was like, man, this is like, Nirvana the Band, the Show, it's one of the shows that has spoken to me the most in my entire life. And I was like, how did this not get into my Brammys and Chammys? And I realized that I just, you know, I must have forgotten it by that point in time. And I didn't think about it because it was almost a year later that we recorded. But that was my half hour show last year.
Nice.
It's so good. If you like comedy, it speaks to me for a lot of reasons that I won't get into right now, but it's incredible. Nirvana the Band, the Show. Right. All right. Now we're moving on to books.
All right.
What do you got? Now, Brad does a lot more reading than I do. I do a lot more podcast listening than he does. So I'll give you my one book thing for this year.
Good. Do it.
The new Marvel Zombies reboot, which nice. I think is called Marvel Zombies Resurrection, has been awesome.
Okay.
And I haven't really read a lot of books besides that.
I, on the other hand, have. In fact, I pulled up my Goodreads profile here.
Yes.
And they give a summary for my year in books. So if you were to guess how many pages I have read, according to the books I've read this year, what would your guess for number of pages?
Can I actually give a guess?
Yes, please.
Let me see.
All right.
Let me see.
Take your time and think about it.
Okay. I'm doing the calculation because I'm going to do it.
Good. Do it.
I think you've read 21,250 pages.
Ooh, that is close, except the number is 37,199 pages.
Wow.
Over 85 books.
Jesus.
Shortest book was 70 pages, The Perfect Shadow by Brent Weeks. Longest book was Oathbringer by Brandon Sanderson at 1,243 pages. Average book length, 437 pages. Least popular book that I read this year.
Least popular?
Well, most popular... almost 2 million people also shelved The Golden Compass, which I read this year. 250 people also shelved Friday the 13th Road Trip.
Yes.
So yeah, I guess I'll go through the actual categories and then just take a look at the 85 books I read. So funniest book, I read What If by Randall Monroe, who draws the XKCD webcomic. And it's a comical look, I guess a serious look at ridiculous scientific questions.
Okay.
And, you know, they're little stick figure drawings as well. Most original novel is This Is How You Lose the Time War, which was kind of hard to follow, but I read it last January. Favorite short story, it's technically a novella, I don't care, Dawn Shard by Brandon Sanderson. Favorite nonfiction was The Story of More by Hope Yaron, that talks about climate change and kind of what's coming and what we can do. Biggest disappointment, Chuck wasn't more excited about my report on Friday the 13th road trip.
I liked it.
I thought you'd be all over it.
I was.
Favorite method of telling a story. Brandon Sanderson, and I've talked about this before, his Cosmere series, it's 10 main books that are all like 1,000 to 1,300 pages long. And he's writing like one every 3 years. But that also ties in with another series of books that will be 3 plus 4 plus another 13 book series that takes place on a different planet in the part of this universe. Oh, wait, there's short stories that fit in. There's other planets. There's short fiction that goes with it. And he's like, yeah, when it's done, it's probably going to be between 36 and 40 total books that comprise this universe that all exists in his head. And just the idea of, and there are characters that cross over from, you know, this book to that book. And I didn't realize it the first time I read it. And then I'm like, oh, all right, well, this character uses colors as swears. So they're from this world that where that color kind of defines magic. And it's insane the depth that it's going to, where he's like, all right, these 10 people were regarded as gods, but then they turned their back on mankind, but that broke this and that killed this god. And there are 16 pieces of God spread out, and this god is in charge of this world. And it's like, it is so crazy to like, do any one piece of that. And he's like, I'm going to do all of it. And I'm going to write quickly and like write these 1200 page books. You know, it takes a year and a half to write them. And in between do like, you know, shorter young adult books that don't fit into these worlds, but like, wouldn't it be cool if they did? I don't know. I just can't get behind it enough. If you like things that are epic, get on board, and you might need to go online and read background stuff on what's going on, because there are so many connections that I missed the first time, second time, third time through. I've read some of the longer books now 4 times. Like basically I've read book 1 4 times, book 2 3 times, book 3 twice, and then book 4 came out this year. And then also, you know, I talked a little bit about not having a great summer, and rereading the books in this side series, the first 1, 2, 3, 5, 6, like helped, because it was familiar enough that I knew the characters, and the writing speaks to me as well. So
nice.
Just so much good stuff there.
Yeah.
Book I was most surprised I enjoyed, Get Out of Your Head by Jenny Allen. I got for free on Amazon. I don't know how I got it. It's written towards Christian women. I didn't know it when I got it, but I was like, yeah, I have toxic thoughts. I want to get out of my head. And I read through it, and it literally changed my life. So again, don't know how I got it. Basically, it was like Amazon's like, you have an $11 credit. You can buy one of these 6 books. And I'm like, okay.
You're like, whatever, yeah.
Yeah, and didn't think much of it, and read it, and I could not believe how much it impacted me. So just some books I read this year. I read the Hyperion series by Dan Simmons. Our pal Wade got me the first of 4 books for Christmas last year, and then I just read the next 3. I had actually read them in 2002, but had forgotten virtually everything. I'm like, I know one of these characters is a traitor, but I don't know which one.
Yeah.
And then book one goes into book two. Book one doesn't really end. And then books 3 and 4 are kind of its own little duology. I referenced the book Wanderers with you earlier today by Chuck Wendig. It is about a global pandemic and some white nationalist uprising that occurs in the middle of it. So, you know, that one landed. I read True Grit by Charles Portis. Awesome. So good. Well, probably my favorite older book that I should have known about before now. Let's see here. I read the John Scalzi, I guess, The Last Empire, Collapsing Empire series. It concluded this year. It's a trilogy with The Last Emperox. I read the Golden Compass series this year, or I guess His Dark Materials. I'm not going to say a book I read that wasn't good. Books I read that were good. Michael J. Sullivan continued his, like, this is the mythology of my Chronicles of Ryra books. So he concluded that 6-book series this year, which I enjoyed. I read the Deborah Harkness books. I don't know if they're called The Discovery of Witches. I don't know what, I think it's called the Book of Life series. It's a trilogy of vampire romance novels that I was recommended. Paul Tremblay, one of my favorite authors, had a book called Survivor Song that was about, you know, a pandemic that people didn't believe was happening, and it's set in and around Boston, and characters went to Brown University, except the pandemic in this case is super rabies.
Yeah.
The book Labyrinth of Ice by Buddy Levy talks about an ill-fated expedition to the Arctic in the late 1800s. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I was going through some problems in my own life at the time, and then reading about these men, like, having to, like, eat leather to survive, to not freeze to death.
It made you, I was like, some perspective.
Okay. Yeah, it gave me some perspective.
Yeah.
I read, I don't know what's, if it's the Thorns, it's Prince of Thorns, King of Thorns, Emperor of Thorns books by Mark Lawrence that I enjoyed. I read the Divine Cities trilogy by Robert Jackson Bennett. Let's see here. Jim Butcher's book, Battleground, which is like book, I don't know if it's 17 or 22 or something. It's in the Dresden Files series. One of the most emotional moments of the year in terms of reading, really, it got to me in that book. I think I cried like big tears twice in that book. Mm. I reread the Shadows books by Brent Weeks. I reread all the Brandon Sanderson books, and then yeah, I think that's kind of it. I guess my favorite book of the year, you know, was kind of any of the Brandon Sanderson stuff,
nice,
as well as True Grit and Wanderers. But yeah, that was some of the 85 books I read in 2020. I did read the graphic novel, The Dark One, mm-hmm. by Brandon Sanderson, about a boy who is prophesied to become basically Voldemort,
mm-hmm.
and how he is dealing with that. And then also his graphic novels, The White Sand, books 1, 2, and 3, or just The White Sand trilogy, White Sand, you know, because they tie into this incredible extended universe. And I'm like, oh, okay, so this character shows up later, but I didn't realize it until somebody texted me and told me, like, hey, that character was in book two of this. And I'm like, oh, there's just too much.
Yeah, right.
But yeah, a lot of reading this year. And already in 2021, I'm done with 3 books. Wow. So
there you go.
And we're, what, 10 days in?
That's right.
So we're getting there. But nice. Yeah, you know, it was tough. It was a year that, like, people are like, stay home. And I'm like, okay.
Yeah, right.
And so there wasn't much to do for a long time. So I stayed home and I read.
Yeah, I hear you, man. Yeah. I know how it is.
Yeah. So those are books.
I know. I wish I got into more books this year.
That's all right.
What a piece of shit I am.
Yeah, we're all into different things.
Yeah. All right. Next is music and live events. Now, I'm just going to say, the first two categories are favorite stadium concert,
okay.
Under which I put yikes. And then under two, it said favorite venue concert, and I put ouch.
Oh, no, we have a venue concert.
I know.
Okay.
Wait, which one?
We went to one in, you know, maybe on your last year.
Okay.
Chammies. Monty's Fan Club at the Strand.
Right. We did do that, yes.
Yes, but we went to it before we recorded last year's Brammies and Chammies.
And we'll talk, so let's just peel back the curtain.
Okay.
So the way that I do Brammies and Chammies.
Yep.
Every year is from the, like, basically I do it from the last recording of Brammies and Chammies to the current recording. That's how I, like, you know, count it.
Yes.
Brad does it from the last calendar day of the last year.
That's correct.
So if he went to a concert yesterday,
yep,
he's like, nope, gotta wait 365 days to talk about this.
That's correct.
so we calculate a little differently.
Yeah.
But yeah, so want to move on to, I do have an answer for number three, category three, coolest live event.
What do you got?
I got Jay and Silent Bob's Reboot Roadshow Tour.
Perfect.
Which was really fun in Providence, where we get to go with my parents, and we had a really fun night with a, you know, Q&A with Kevin Smith and Jay. And was Jay there actually? No.
No.
No, he wasn't. My actual answer is the Kevin Smith and Jason Mewes drive-in show in New Jersey that I filmed, but I felt weird including that as coolest live event because so much of it is tied to my excitement to be part of it and working with Kevin. So my non, you know, I didn't work on this. So Jay and Silent Bob Reboot Roadshow Tour. Number four. Now you're going to say you don't have an answer for this one, but you do.
Okay.
Favorite comedy song.
I don't have an answer for this one.
I did. It's Spirit Halloween.
Oh, you know what? I thought of it last night.
We do.
Honestly.
We do. I remember it last night.
Because I had NA written down.
Me too. Yeah.
It was either last night or morning. And I was like, oh, I got to remember Nick Luxko.
Yeah.
Is a comedian who wrote has written a number of songs that he performs on Twitter and makes little videos for. And he wrote one called the Spirit Halloween theme song, and it's great.
It's
and I'm
incredible.
So mad at myself for forgetting
so
it.
But we had the exact same experience because I put NA2, and then last night I remembered it, and I was like, if I don't write this down right now, I'm going to forget it for tomorrow.
That was exactly
what
happened.
I'm a fucking professional. I would never let that happen. Right? I'm not a piece of shit.
I'm an amateur.
No, you're fine. But the Spirit Halloween theme song by Nick Lutzko is so fucking funny. Yep. My runner-up is the Gremlins song by Nick Lutzko. Yep. It's also funny. And then even, have you heard his Nick Jr. song?
Yes.
Give me your I love that one. He's incredible. He's great. He just came out with an album called Songs on the Computer, I think it's called.
Okay.
And he's very, very, very funny.
Nice.
A stand-up album. I'm going to put, this is combined because we have stand-up album and stand-up comedian.
Okay.
And for me, it's Mark Normand, Out to Lunch.
Okay.
Is the stand-up album.
Right.
Which doesn't really... Yeah. We got to figure this out next year because we have stand-up stuff under music and live events, but we also have it under movies and TV.
Right.
We got to figure out where it sits. But I'm putting Mark Normand for stand-up comedian of the year.
Okay.
Because it really seems like he never stops producing stuff. Like he does Tuesdays with Stories every week, his podcast. He does, they do a second Patreon episode virtually every week as a bonus. Then he's like... I don't know if you've really paid attention to him, but on his YouTube, he's like, me and Sam Morril are doing a show. And they've done like five episodes of like Mark and Sam where they just Skype with each other and they just put it up afterwards, hour and a half.
Nice.
And he'll do that. Every podcast he goes on, he puts it up. I wouldn't be surprised if he did like 150 podcasts this year.
Wow.
He's just nonstop all the time. New YouTube videos, new podcasts, appearances on podcasts. Obviously shows whenever he can.
Right.
He was on the Tonight Show last night with his Staten Island Ferry performance. And he's just great. He's like, it's weird because he's like, you know, opening for Seinfeld and opening for Schumer.
Yep.
But he still is like, I'm going to go do a living room in Philadelphia, you know? So he's really what I think of when I think of like comics being like working and punk rock. And Mark Normand is my comedian of the year.
See, I put favorite stand-up comedian. I put Kumail Nanjiani.
Yeah, he's great.
Because of his Twitter presence.
Yeah. True.
Yeah.
Good call.
So that was just me.
Favorite moment or surprise? This is in music and live events.
I didn't really have one.
I had The Decline by NOFX, the orchestra video.
Oh, that's good.
I thought that was really cool.
Yeah.
One of the people that worked on that came on our podcast and talked to us about it. And I just thought that was awesome.
Right.
I just thought that was really a really fun moment to take punk rock and the orchestra and put them together and do a live video. Favorite rock single for the year?
I had Super Blood Wolf Moon by Pearl Jam.
Oh, nice. I don't know that song.
Yeah, it was on their newest album, Gigaton. It was just the song that, like their first single was Dance of the Clairvoyance, and it was a little more electronic, and Super Blood Wolf Moon was a little more kind of straight up hard driving rock and roll for the straight up hard driving rock and roll guy that I am.
I think that's... People, no one says that.
What was
my winner is High Hopes by Panic at the Disco.
That's a good song.
Wicked good song. My runner up was the song Jurassic Park by Stand Atlantic. And it's weird because this song is very poppy. It's a punk rock song. And it almost sounds like a Disney punk rock song.
Right.
But the fact that there's a female singing the song to me makes it okay. That it sounds so Disney-ish. Like, it sounds extremely poppy, extremely produced, a lot of vocal effects. If it was, like, boys or guys or whatever you want to say, whatever is politically correct, am I going to get in trouble for saying female? Who knows?
Yes.
That's hateful now, right? Female?
Sometimes.
Can I say that? A female singer? I don't know.
I think female singer is okay.
I hope so. Who knows? But if this was a group of guys and it was this poppy and produced, for some reason it would turn me off a little bit more.
Interesting.
But this band, I think Stand Atlantic is a great band. This is a well-written song. I love this song. I love the harmonies. I love the melodies. It's just great. It's a great song.
We'll see if the Stand Atlantic shows up anywhere on my list.
And then my honorable mention, Himalaya by No Found Glory. You know that song?
Yes, I do. It's got a really crunchy riff.
Yes.
I like to say.
I think
because I'm a straight up rock and roll guy.
I'm a straight up rock and roll asshole. That's our shirts. We're trying to come up with podcast shirts.
That is
your
not.
Face. I'm a straight up rock and roll asshole.
No,
Brad Roar.
I do not authorize that use of my.
Are you work it? All right, favorite sad song of the year.
The song is called Darkness. It's by Sam Russo. That was the one I was walking on the streets of Warren, and it's about kind of walking around your small town and being sad.
I hear
you. You know, not the only sad song I listened to this year. Honorable mention, Twinkle Lights by Zonderbombs. Zonderbombs? I'm not really sure how to say it.
Yes.
I listened to a lot of sad music this year.
I hear you.
And, you know, Jetty Bones, but she'll show up later.
Right. For me, I guess I'll call it a tie. Smokestack by Alkaline Trio I thought was awesome.
Yep.
Like that song. And Rewrite the Stars from the Greatest Showman soundtrack. Oh,
Greatest Showman shows up. What a surprise.
That song's great.
Yeah.
Oh, I think I could sing it really good, you know. You want to hear me?
I'll do the Zac Efron part.
What if we... It's a high... There's a high falsetto in there.
Yeah, that's what I'll do.
I don't have one for our next category, which is favorite hip-hop single.
I also do not have it, but that is unsurprising. I haven't had one in 5 years.
Is it true?
That's very true, yeah.
Wow.
I don't listen to a lot of hip-hop singles.
Really?
Yeah.
Let me see. I have a... I want to see something real quick. This is just for fun. On our Brammies and Chammies, I want to make a big spreadsheet of all my favorite stuff from every year. And I apparently started doing that and I didn't finish it. Let me see if my, did I do music yet? I didn't do music. If I did, I'd like to look and see what my favorite hip hop single was for the past couple of years. Do I stretch the genre about a lot? I bet I do.
Not a lot, but I think a little.
Let's see. What was my favorite one? Let's see. Favorite hip hop single 2 years ago. No Answer. Oh no, this is last year. No Answer. Wow, what a piece of shit I am.
Yep.
All right, let's continue. What else we got? Favorite single overall?
I have Taking Up Space by Jetty Bones.
Mm-hmm.
It was, you know, she released it independent of an album, at least so far, and came out, I think, August, maybe September, and just landed with me, although I think it's more that I am so behind her as an artist that, you know, she could have released,
My Dick in a Blender.
Yeah.
My anus in a blender.
There we go. And I would have been all for it as a single. So
she could have released My Anus in a Blender.
Yeah.
How did she? For me, favorite single, you're probably going to guess this. When I say it, you're going to be like, oh, yeah, it makes sense.
Yeah.
The single by Dua Lipa,
yes,
Break My Heart, is like a 70s, like disco-y throwback.
Yeah, you played it for me that day we went to the coffee shop in Cranston.
That song is fucking balls to the wall awesome.
Yep.
I love that song. It's so well done. I want to think that. It's so good. It's so well done. Oh, so disco. And then another throwback, Blinding Lights by The Weeknd.
Oh,
do you like that song?
Yeah, it's a good song.
Oh, that song is awesome. By the way, my favorite hip-hop single from 2 years ago was Water by Eminem and Beyonce.
Ah, okay.
That's a good one. Yeah, Blinding Lights by The Weeknd is like an 80s throwback, and they did a great job on that, too. Favorite song of the year? Dun, 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 dun.
For me, the song is Innocent Party by Jetty Bones.
Wow.
Just one that hit me in the right place at the right time.
Right in your bones.
Yeah.
You could say that.
And, it's just so good. And it probably could have also gotten Saddest Song of the Year, but it felt like it would be unfair to keep giving all the awards to this woman.
Right.
And her band.
Right.
So, Innocent Party by Jetty Bones was it for me.
All right. For me, song of the year, you're not going to believe it, My Darling Dopamine by Days and Days.
It's a great song.
Song was awesome. Days and Days is like a folk punk band, but they're very crusty and screamy and screechy, like leftover crack, but with like a washboard and a fiddle or whatever, a trumpet. Yep. I don't know what's in the band. Great band.
A jug.
Yeah. And they do... they've had a bunch of songs over the years that are kind of like really fun, really well written, but this song really had a hook. I love, the way that the chorus starts and then rolls forward. And they do the slow version of it. It's just a great chorus. I love it. And Gina is like a little bit turned off to their voices that are like that.
Yeah.
But she's like, I love this chorus. I love it so much. Such a good song. Favorite cover.
Favorite cover, the song is Your Graduation, originally by Modern Baseball, covered by Stand Atlantic. Yeah.
My favorite cover, actually a grouping of covers, is Mick Maz on YouTube doing all the 80s versions of all these different songs. He's killing it. He does it completely alone. I think he should have way more followers on YouTube. He's doing a great job. My runner-up was Eat the Meek by Frank Turner, covering NoFX.
Yep.
I really ended up loving that song. The first time I listened to it, I was like, this is weird.
Yeah.
Now I love it.
Oh, there's an album, West Coast versus Wessex, where Frank Turner mm-hmm. does six, I think, NoFX songs, and NoFX mm-hmm. does six Frank Turner songs.
Yes.
And, you know, I love them all.
14, favorite soundtrack, which I'm going to skip because it ties into my album of the year.
I put Six from Broadway.
Yes.
The original cast recording, but I also put Just Saying It in there, Just Saying This to Upset Chuck's Pick.
You'll never know.
Yeah, it's Six is a musical about Henry VIII's wives. And it, you know, I didn't listen to a lot of soundtracks this year, but that was it. Favorite song I should have known before. Do you have that as a category?
Oh yeah.
I have A Stereo by Mike Maines and the Branches. Mm. It's just a song I like. Came up on my Spotify Discover Weekly playlist.
For me, I have a couple. My number one was the song The Underdog by Spoon. You know that song?
No, not off the top of my head, no.
It's like, it's weird. I think it might open something about Mary, and it sounds like it's a song from like the 60s or something, uh-huh. but it's actually written in the 90s.
Oh, wow.
They mentioned David Cross in the song.
Oh, that's crazy.
And it's weird because that's what was so interesting to me is that there's just some songs out there where you grow up and they're already, you know, you hear them somewhere and you assume that they're, you know, a certain age or whatever. Here, I'll just play you a quick little snippet. You ready?
Please.
Let's see. Can you hear it? Can we hear this
away.
Song? I don't know why I can't hear it. Ready? Watch. You'll hear yep. it.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I get it.
This song is from the 90s.
Wow.
Isn't that weird? Did you think it was an old song?
Yes, I did.
They mentioned David Cross in this song. Isn't that strange?
Yes, it is.
I love this song. Do you know the lyrics of it?
I do not.
Oh, they're really good.
David Cross is on Mr. Show, and that's all he'll ever do. No, it's like he'll never be in Alvin and the Chipmunks.
It's really, really good. You'll like it. I'll send you a link to remind you to watch it and listen to the lyrics, but they're really good.
Thank you.
Midnight Confessions by the Grassroots. Midnight Confessions by the Grassroots.
Okay.
You know that song?
Yes.
Yeah. I didn't know that song really before. Okay. I mean, I guess this is a little bit more for songs that maybe I did hear.
Right.
But didn't actually say like, well, who writes this? When's it from? Right. Let me add it into my music library.
Got it.
And then Pipe Dreams by MXPX.
Yep.
From Mike Herrera, the lead singer of MXPX, perhaps my friend. He did an acoustic version.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, this is one of my favorite MXPX songs. I never heard it before this year. All right, next categories. I don't have the next two. Opinion Changer and Favorite New Artist. I don't really have anything for
favorite
that.
New artist. Jetty Bones was new to me.
Mm-hmm.
Again, just right songs at the right time.
I hear you, bud.
Yep. Favorite album.
Album of the year. To me, it's a tie.
I also have a tie, but they're probably two different records.
Days and Days, Show Me the Blueprints.
Okay.
There's so many good songs on that.
Yep.
There's one song, and I forget if it's called like Sugar Rush or Flurry, and it's like, it goes into like what would be a typical Against Me chorus mm-hmm. about like how you have to stay the course and you have to hold on and you have to move forward. Then they do a post-chorus that's like, but what if we're wrong? We're fucked. That whole thing.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so well done. It's so punk rock. I love it. And the tie between Days and Days, Show Me the Blueprints is with The Greatest Showman soundtrack.
Oh, okay.
It was so good. I mean, yeah. I'm not going to get back into it.
Thank you. I went crazy
last episode.
Yep.
I jizzed so much that I had to go to the hospital. One of my balls came out of my dick hole.
Yeah.
It was bad.
I don't know how that happened. That's not even how it works.
Too hard.
Yeah.
I think it's a poop come out. I don't know.
But, it's all connected.
Yeah, it's all connected. Days and Days, Show Me the Blueprints, and Greatest Showman soundtrack. It's just they both had so many great songs that I couldn't choose between them, and they're so so wildly yep. different. Excellent.
Actually, a three-way tie for favorite album, Pearl Jam's Gigaton. And the Lawrence Arms Skeleton Coast and Need to Breathe's is it Out of This Body? Maybe. Out of Body is the name of the actual album. But it's, you know, I love them all at different times throughout the year for different reasons, and they spoke to me in different ways. Those were my favorite albums of the year. Favorite artist of the year. by this point, you should be able to guess that it is Jetty Bones for me.
I guess it's Hugh Jackman for me. I don't know. I don't really have a great one.
Right.
But Hugh Jackman really did surprise me.
Nice.
My honorable mentions, a couple songs. Infinite by Goldfinger, I thought was awesome. Yep. I haven't listened to the whole album yet, but because it came out in December, so it's kind of hard to get out of Christmas to listen to a new punk rock album. Seashore by The Regrets. Do you know that song?
I do not.
Oh, that's a Brad song.
Good.
And then the Mike Herrera acoustic album, Mike Herrera from MXPX.
This year we switched from Google Play Music to YouTube Music. I do not enjoy the interface of YouTube Music.
I think, I don't love the transition. I'm fine with the interface. I don't give a shit. I just don't think they're doing as good a job.
Yeah.
But we got to hope that they work out the kinks.
Yeah.
It's tough because we had Google Play Music because it was such a good deal to get a family account with six of us.
Right.
And it's so much less than getting any other music service. And you get to upload your own music if they don't have it.
Yeah.
So it's a lot of good positives. But man, the change to YouTube Music, they're really, they're feeding us beans, Brad.
Yeah, but not even good beans. Like bad beans.
It's bad beans.
Is that going to be a new expression for us in 2021?
Stinky Pintos. How about that? You like that one?
It's a real stinky Pintos.
That's a real stinky Pinto. Can we do that? For bad beans?
Yeah.
We'll say, that's a real stinky Pinto.
Yeah.
What does that mean? What does this phrase mean, by the way?
Just that it's not good, right?
Is that it?
Maybe it's something that is promised to be good and then it isn't good.
Or maybe it's just like, situations are going to have an outcome.
Yep.
And that's not a good outcome.
Yeah.
Which is only a tiny bit more specific, but I think it helps.
All right.
Like, how did it go? How did it go with?
It's a real stinky Pinto.
with your interview, it was
real stinky.
Yeah,
I thought
maybe this is what our first shirt.
Thought it was
you get too. I'm in rock and roll asshole, and it's Brad with an earring, and sunglasses. And a mohawk.
Please, no, somebody's gonna do that, and I don't want them to.
All right, here's what we want: maybe a leather jacket, but definitely Brad with sunglasses, earring, mohawk.
No.
And then me. Real stinky Pinto. I don't know how, but maybe in the Pinto, the car.
So you on a trapeze with Hugh Jackman.
Making out with Zac Efron.
Yes.
All right. Final category of the 2020 Brammies and Chammies is our personal category. I think this is going to become a little bit more discussional here because you finished everything else. My first category is always food or thing I should have tried long ago. That's obviously a Brad category. Which is really funny, the idea of food or thing I should have tried. My answer I put with a question mark at the end, I'm eating green beans. I'm trying to eat green beans,
That's good.
I know they're good for you. My belief in food and different things is like, you can kind of get yourself to like something the more you experience it because you understand its contextual place. I don't want there to be foods I don't like. I want to like every food.
Right.
So green beans are one of the ones that I don't know if I like them. I didn't like them before, but now I've eaten them a bunch of times this year. Grilled, middle soy, maybe, what's it called when something's like a little charred? I don't know.
Seared?
Yeah, maybe charred, seared or something. Yeah. I don't know. Little like walnuts, some kind of nut, but green beans. And the other thing I put for thing, he's food or thing I should have tried long ago. The other thing I put was, when Lou asked me to go to drive to Texas with him, he was essentially like, hey, will you take a week out of your life to just go on a road trip? And at different points in time, I think I would have normally said no to focus on work or not disrupt my routine or whatever. And I'm really glad that I kind of am the person now who's realizing like those opportunities are dwindling and they're important to jump onto to have a full and rich life and grow as a person, experience new things. And man, it was like a highlight of my year now,
Yeah.
How about you?
I put, I don't know, but I honestly, we went to farmers markets or farms 2 weeks in a row in December. And I'm like, oh, there's a lot going on at these things.
Yeah.
And I don't know that they're specifically for me, but the idea of getting out and experiencing more local commerce is something that I should have tried a long time ago.
Yeah. And I bet the more you would find, stuff that is specifically for you.
Right.
Like I bet you would find something like, oh, this is my favorite hot chocolate. Someone makes this, Actually, you know what they make that we could have picked up that we didn't, but looks great. Someone makes like a macaroni and cheese powder to mix with with like milk to put into pasta. And I kept seeing it in a couple places. It was like a cheddar cheese powder, like the Kraft powder. And I bet that that's really good.
Yeah.
It's weird. So obviously we just kind of can't ignore the COVID and the quarantine, but biggest surprise of the year.
Oh, I put the pandemic. Yeah.
A pandemic.
Yeah.
I guess.
Yeah, didn't see it coming.
Nope. That was my biggest surprise, bar none.
Yeah.
By leaps and bounds.
Yeah. No matter, no matter how many surprise albums Taylor Swift drops, it's not going to beat out a global pandemic.
I mean, we wouldn't expect Brad to get a cat a couple years ago, but pandemic is still a bigger deal.
Yeah. You know what? I'll say, Two years ago, it was in like 2019's, I guess, was Chuck gets a dog. That was my biggest surprise. So really, it's changed somewhat.
Yep.
The pandemic this year. You know, we've tried to be positive about it. And I think we have been positive about it.
Yes, positive and productive.
With the idea that like, you know, it is hard. It's a challenge. And, mm-hmm. and we're not going to shy away from that side of things. Mm-hmm. But we're also not going to be destroyed by it. You know, maybe either defeated but not destroyed or destroyed but not defeated. We're one of them.
Yeah,
but,
one of them we succeeded.
But we're not both of them.
Right.
So that was a surprise.
So I will say blessing in disguise.
Yes.
Now, I'm not going to say that the pandemic was a blessing in disguise because I think that's too far. But I did want to use this category to say, you know, I'm not going to get political, but I believe there is a chance that Trump would have been reelected if there was no pandemic. I think the pandemic displayed his ineptitude in a way that was so condensed and so clear that I believe that it really cemented the fact that we need somebody else in office.
Yeah.
And I think that that's a positive thing.
And, you know, one of the things I talked about with you and your parents recently was the idea that because there were no sports, people had time to pay attention to social causes, the Black Lives Matter movement specifically.
Yeah.
And because there were, you know, the, like work situations were so different, more people were able to go to these protests and these events and kind of see everything that was going on. That having been said, my blessing in disguise was working from home, which was something that I thought I would have a lot of trouble with in terms of like staying on task and staying motivated. And that was not the case. I was able to work from home and stay motivated. Mm-hmm. But I think that's because I had external like support and external supervision. I think if you were like, all right, Brad, you've got 4 months, you need to do these projects. I think I would like do nothing for 2 months and then work frantically for 2 months.
You know what? Instead of having blessing in disguise as our third category, what if it's just positives despite what happened? Because that's what it really sounds like, you know? Because it's not a blessing in disguise.
Right.
Let's see. Four, least pleasing development.
I wrote the government. That's all I wrote.
I wrote from a personal standpoint, because obviously enough COVID bullshit.
Yep.
Not moving to Jersey
to
continue to move forward and try to get more work and work with more people and stuff. And also the fact that Smodcastle, which I was hoping to work at, did not get to open in New Jersey, the venue. And no shows, all the stuff like that. Five, most pleasing development.
That I learned to love myself and accept that I don't have to be perfect in order to deserve love.
Mm.
That to me, that came in mid-September and really kind of changed the tenor of my year.
Good.
Yep.
For me, it was working with Kevin Smith was the most pleasing development that I didn't expect at the beginning of the year. Number six, best purchase or deal?
You know, I'm so psyched. She's been really good this entire time we've been recording. I'm psyched to have a cat, little Rosetta, little Rosie. Mm-hmm. And she's been a real source of comfort over the past couple months. Even yesterday, I was not having a great day, very much a compare and despair day, like looking at my friends' lives and saying like, why isn't that my life? So I was a little bummed about it. I was just a little sleepy. And like, she's just was so snuggly. She like jumped up on my lap multiple times and hung out with me. And you know, it's good. It feels good to have a pet love you.
Yes.
So that she is my best purchase / deal.
Nice.
Yep.
For me, you know, we went at the beginning of the year, the very beginning of the year, we went through a situation where I sat down with Brad and I was like, listen, we need to fix our audio situation, which we've always cared very much about. We always, I thought, provided a really high quality quality for the podcast.
Yeah.
High quality, you know, audio experience.
That's the goal.
But then I realized too often you could hear a little bit of echo. And it's weird because without naming names, there are way bigger podcasts than us, not ones that I'm involved with, way bigger ones where you can hear the same echo. But I'm like, I think we can still do better. And Brad and I went through a series of microphone tests and upgrades and different things until we landed on our current setup.
I mean, it's the Gecko and Echo podcast. That's kind of their gimmick.
Yeah. I hate that gecko, but that right wing gecko. But, you know, we ended up with the current setup, which is not only our setup, which allows us to have great audio all the time, even when we're like driving around in a car. But also, this is the Patreon setup for Tell 'Em Steve Dave,
right?
For the vast majority of the Patreon products. Same microphone, same kind of situation. And I think our audio is a lot better than it was at the beginning of the year, even though I already thought it was really good.
Right.
But so is that my best purchase deal? Well, also, I finally upgraded my camera setup, and I think the quality of that stuff has gone up a lot. You know, I took out my first car loan, and that really went well. I got some security cameras for my home at the end of the year.
That's
during the podcast, I checked on the dog multiple times and she's curled up in our recliner. Great to have that peace of mind.
Yep.
So it's a kind of a tie between the mics, my camera filming setup, my car, and at this first time I've really had a new car.
Right.
And my security cameras, I guess. Even though those are boring answers, but you know, step up in terms of
get a cat next year
production quality. So here's where I didn't really answer. So we have two more categories we normally do: predictions for the next year, and also hopes, not resolutions, but hopes. Now I didn't really put anything for these because it's so hard to talk about next year without knowing how long the pandemic is going
to
end.
The secret is to make a nebulous prediction.
Okay. What did you make?
I said things get better.
Yeah, sure.
Now, if we flash back to last year's Brammies and Chammies, my prediction, things get better. Like literally, I didn't look when I was doing this.
Really?
Same capitalization, same everything. Things get better.
Sounds like Brad.
Yep. So, I mean, you know, I don't know that any of my predictions have ever been right. Wait, did someone we know get arrested for murder? Because that was my prediction for 2017.
Not murder.
Okay.
It's tough. For me, let me look back. My prediction last year, my Chammies and Brammies predictions and hopes. All right, my predictions. Achieve some sort of stability from creative income.
Okay.
Expand what we do with the podcast. Oh, I will say.
Yeah.
The podcast definitely expanded this year in terms of a much wider listener base.
Yep.
So that's pretty good. Achieve some sort of stability from creative income. Without getting into it, even with losing the concerts, my band's concerts, our live shows, we lost, to pull back the curtain, we lost all our sponsorships on the podcast.
Yep.
Because our sponsors are usually local to Rhode Island, and we felt so guilty asking for money from anyone in the food scene who is having such a tough time with the pandemic that we just did not pursue sponsors this year. And even though I continued to write for my magazines, the truth is their budgets were slashed and I couldn't really make any money from it. It became a thing where they were basically like, listen, we can't really pay you right now. If you want to keep writing, that's great. If you don't, we totally understand. So even losing our sponsorships, all the live stuff, and my income from writing, of which, you know, I still made a little bit, my creative income this year was way up from last year.
Nice.
Which is good. It's another step. That's the way I look at it. It's like 3 years ago, I made this much creatively. 2 years ago, I made this. Last year, I made this. This year, I made this. I'm trying to climb that ladder until all of my income is creative.
Right.
And even though I lost all those things, it still was bigger this year.
Yeah.
You know, I finished 21 videos for Tell 'Em Steve Dave. We shot 31 videos.
That's great.
You know, we shot and completed one video for Kevin Smith for his website. I did 8 articles. You know, I worked for the Comedy Connection, the comedy club that is our home club in Rhode Island, to do some live stream shows this year.
Right.
And obviously we did, you know, at least 52 podcasts, probably more like 54, along with a bunch of call-ins and different things.
Yeah.
We did a video segment on one of the Comedy Connection shows, did a bunch of video podcasts as well. But so I will say, although I didn't achieve stability from creative income, I think with the pandemic making it tough, still stepping forward through all that with creative income, I think is a plus. And then let's see, last year, my hopes were stability with creative income, same thing, and take a risk and step towards professionalism and art. And again, it was kind of a tough year for me to have go in wanting to move to Jersey and pursue being more involved in things there and near New York as well. The fact that I couldn't do that kept me from that step. So maybe I'm just moving the steps. But what's tough is like, I don't know how long it's going to last. What if it lasts another 8 months?
Right.
It's really, really tough. I mean, we're in Rhode Island. People are getting the vaccine, and I'm sure that, you know, they're getting in other states as well, but I know they're moving forward. So hopefully people get vaccinated. Hopefully things start to open up again, and hopefully, you know, I'm going to work as hard as possible to move forward, but I don't know how much things are going to hold us back this year in terms of that kind of stuff. So it's hard to make predictions, and it's hard to have hopes at this point in time.
Yeah.
But hopefully, like Brad said, things get better, and I hope to continue to move forward with these different things. And I will say, just to be, you know, to be completely clear, I'm happy that during this pandemic, you know, I had Gina, my girlfriend, to lean on.
Yeah.
Because we got to really say, you know, she's losing her job. I'm losing a bunch of income from different things that I do. And we're all of a sudden kind of stuck in the house together. I was glad that we could kind of find things to do together and really have someone to lean on that would help me with this kind of stuff. And I really feel lucky that we had each other.
I feel lucky that I live 1 mile away from you.
Yes.
So I was able to, even before it was like, hey, you know, we can go in each other's houses.
Yeah.
Which didn't happen. Like, basically, I was in your house on March 13th, maybe 14th.
Right.
14th. Mm-hmm. And then not in there again until July 16th.
Wow.
Not inside. But I could walk over. You know, you'd come out, you'd stand on the deck, and we'd talk for a little bit. And
did I ever bring you a cheesesteak or anything?
You brought me a cheesesteak.
All right, good.
Yeah, I mean, I brought you chicken wings, and you brought me a cheesesteak. You know, we did a good job. We looked out for each other.
Yeah.
And so having my closest friend, you know, within walking distance during a pandemic helped considerably.
Definitely.
So it was good stuff.
Yeah.
Made it through the year and did not collapse, and we are here now. You know, if it's 6 months, if it's 8 months, you know, we're going to get through it.
And no matter what, we're going to be doing really fun podcasts. We love that the community for Chuck and Brad podcast has been building.
Oh, yeah.
Write us at Chuck and Brad podcast, write it chuckandbrad@gmail.com or go to chuckandbradpodcast.com and find the write-in link. We love that people are listening and talking to us and kind of having a community. We really appreciate it. We want to put on a good show. We want to be funny and have fun and be intelligent and have good talks about art and be positive, and we're all a team moving together forward, you know? That's what I think. I think that it's fun to become part of something and feel like, I guess, that people are still being productive.
Right.
And that there's like, you know what? No matter how long this takes, we're going to get through it. And then it's fun to have people on the team with us.
Yeah.
You know?
I agree.
So a lot of good stuff. Still, I'm glad we continued to, like, you know, we didn't just kind of settle in and be like, whatever, I guess this is, you know, the podcast has to be this.
Yeah.
We really kind of branched out and did different things. And I think that was really fun.
Did some video segments, did the Testy Town history episodes.
Yeah, yeah. Did your cat just bite you?
No, she lunged at me because I was trying to pet her blindly and I think I poked her in the face.
But that stuff is
positive. It's about time for her 5:30 treat.
I see. I think that stuff was really positive.
I appreciate, like, we've had so many listeners who want to be engaged with us and care about what we say and what we're doing, and that is flattering and also a little bit terrifying.
Of course.
So it's positive, and we appreciate it.
Yeah, definitely.
So, folks, thank you. I know this episode was shorter than the first half of the Brammies and Chammies, but you know, that's what happens when live events are part of this one, and live events didn't really happen for 10 months.
Yep.
So, folks out there, we appreciate you listening. We appreciate you as people.
Yes.
And as Chubies. So, that's all I've got.
That's all I got, buddy.
Deuces.
Ask myself, why did you lie? I don't know why you lied. I don't know why. don't know why. Every several days, I curse myself, why do you cry? I don't know why. And I don't know why.